And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here, Rock God Rick Mexa here in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here, right next to the very busy San Diego land. Just saw the Islander pulling in from a day and a half trip. I'm sure they're loading up on some good bluefin tuna. They're just unloading the wares there.
I saw a condor and outrigger both hauling fish up when I was walking up the stairs to the world headquarters this morning. Looked like it was a good, I mean, I didn't check the exact count, but it looked like it was a really good day.
Certainly looks like weather has improved immensely.
Thank God.
Yeah, and looks like we got a nice window of weather here. Brandon Hayward, Captain Brandon Hayward, and his main deckhand Finn are here from Bite Sport Fishing Charters talking some sea bass, bluefin tuna, and a lot more, too.
Yeah, this is having a great time. We heard about Finn's big yellowtail. We've just been talking all kinds of fun fishing this morning. And if you want to join us, we want to hear from you. Give us a call at 213-432-1090. 213-432-1090. That's the number if you want to reach us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning, whether you got a sea bass question for Brandon or a sheephead question for Finn. That's your way to get through. Or you can text the show. Texting only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. We got a bunch of great texts here to read in the second hour. And again, make sure you include your contact info when you send a text through, because we might be calling you back at the end of the show if you're the lucky winner of our big prize today, which is so cool, a custom handmade Anza fillet knife for our great friends up at Anza. What a cool prize that is.
Yeah, beautiful fillet knife from Anza Knives. And let's go ahead and jump into those jam-packed phones. I believe there's one line open. You want to talk to JP, he'll get you on the air. 213-432-1090.
Kai in Oxnard is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Kai, welcome to the show. Yo, Kai.
I guess we lost Kai.
Yeah. Well, what are we doing? There he is, Kai. Good morning.
Good morning, Kai. A quick question for Brandon. Yeah, my question is, for fishing the white sea bass, is there anything you look for when it comes to structure or markings in choosing, like, a dropper loop versus a slider versus a lead head and squid?
That's a good question.
Good question.
Yeah. My kind of default line is I usually just kind of cruise into the spot, look around, see which way the current's going, which way the kelp's laying, things like this. And I think it's kind of like spot dependent, you know. Some spots fish are right on the bottom, and other spots the fish are kind of like mid-water column or whatever like that. So I try to just cover all bases and have something down towards the bottom. I don't fish dropper loops that much. Usually what I use is like a heavier lead head, like that Gitsum lead head that kind of swims. And I'll just drop it down to the bottom, and I'll wind up like three cranks. So I'll use that instead of a dropper loop.
Gitsum lead head.
Gitsum, yeah. Dolphin Tackle makes them.
Okay.
And they're shaped kind of like a, it's kind of like a teardrop type shape, and they have two little like wings on them. So as the boat bounces up and down, it kind of glides and does some fun stuff.
Right.
So that's what we use a lot of for that.
Glow in the dark? Or does that matter?
Any color. Glow in the dark. Or I like to have a little bit of color on it. I think it kind of stands out. So red or glow in the dark or whatever. So, yeah. Finn caught his big yellowtail in a dropper loop. So if we're fishing like a bait grounds or it's a squid type thing, then I'll use a lot of dropper loops for that. But if it's structure fishing, I'm usually like using lead heads and casting. And we use more lead heads than sliders usually.
All right. Very good. Hey, question there. Thanks for calling us from Oxnard.
Hey,
that's sea bass country up there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But a great text come through from Rich in Long Beach. It says, good morning, guys. Question for Brandon. Do you ever use the Hamburguesa rig that was made so popular down in northern coastal Baja, the mackerel and chrome jig? Does that ever work up here? Why or why not?
Yeah, I use that a ton, and I use that a lot roughly 2015 to, like, 18, when we didn't have squid around here and all those big sea bass were in the kelp, and that's all I used pretty much. So it works great. The reason why, I don't know, but I think it's just the flash of the jig, and mackerels are pretty fast, so I think sea bass have a hard time catching them, so it kind of slows the bait down, and it's a great way to go.
That's cool.
Great way to go.
When there's no squid around.
When there's no squid.
Yeah. So like for now, like around Point Loma or something like that might be a good thing to try.
I'd fish it. I'd fish it a lot. The problem, seals love, especially in this country, you know, here in La Jolla.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of seals, they love to rip that bait off the jig for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Slows it down for sea bass. It's an easy pickoff for a sea lion.
They love it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you fish that in gear? Do you fish that out of gear? How does one fish with that rig?
Yeah, I fish it in gear, a heavier crocodile or jig in gear. And then instead of using just a hook and a mackerel, I'll use like a little bit lighter crocodile, and I'll flatline that or fish it in bait balls or something like that.
Do you ever have issues in Catalina with hooking a sea bass and then the sea lion getting on it?
Yeah.
It happens. It's heartbreaking.
It happens. Seems like that happens to Wes a lot more than it happens.
Oh, shots fired.
That's tough.
Solid move not saying it to a guy that can't come back at you. That's perfect.
Right. Right.
Well played.
Yeah, he's out on the water, right?
If he was as good as I was, it probably wouldn't happen, but, you know, it is what it is.
I've lost a handful, but it seems like every day he was losing one for a while.
Oh, that hurts. That's brutal.
That hurts.
Yeah.
And they love to eat the belly meat, right, Finn?
That's why we just love those sea lions, right?
Can you pull too hard in a scenario like that? Like, if there's a seal that's on you that you know, like, man, we're either going to get this thing or we're not. Like, can you pull too hard, or is there no such thing?
Yeah, I think there's no such thing.
Okay.
Yeah. And people say sea bass have a soft mouth, but I think it's pretty hard and rigid overall, and they swallow it. So, yeah, and that's why, like, 30-pound mono just doesn't cut it anymore. You just can't put the heat on them. You have the kelp and all that other stuff. So, yeah, we're a big fan of 65 to 50 or 60 pound fluorocarbon.
That's cool. Right. That was the biggest thing that World's Greatest. When he texted me in the morning when he was fishing with those guys, is like, oh my god, best sea bass fishing of my life. We caught him on 60 pound. He goes, that's heavier tackle than I fish at Alejos.
right.
Yeah, they'll eat it though.
No problem. All day. You can use 80.
Yeah,
whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Heavier the better.
Yep.
All right. Very good. Hey, I have a great text, and this is from Bruce in Lemon Grove. Was out yesterday and saw football fields of anchovy. Is that a sign of a cold water year?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that's a sign of a lot of wind and a lot of upwelling and a lot of nutrient-rich water.
It's a good sign, though.
That's good. It's good to have that anchovy. When we went to Clemente last week on the Thunderbird, we had some anchovies, right, Finn?
Yeah.
What was eating the anchovies?
Bonita.
Were they big bonita? Small ones.
Nice ones.
Okay, yeah. But, yeah, we've seen a lot of different things here this last couple of years. Bonita is one of them. We haven't seen bonita since, years and years and years of the quantity of bonita around. And it's great to see them come back.
Totally. I think sometimes with the bluefin being around and that taking everyone's attention, sometimes we miss other fisheries.
Yeah.
And Catalina was, you know, in April when we had that string of really warm, nice weather. Catalina, they're catching bass, barracuda, bonita, and a few yellowtail. Like, that's the nuts and bolts, and especially for industry, that's what really moves tackle sales, you know, that type of stuff. So
it's good to hear that Bruce saw this anchovy out there, because that means maybe that bluefin will move up and get on the surface, right?
Yeah.
Hearing that.
And Jake had that good foamer fishing a couple days ago. So
was that on all the anchovies?
Great question. I didn't ask. I would assume, but I didn't ask
likely.
Him. Yeah. Yeah, but he said it was pretty impressive. So
wow.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
You got it, man. Well, packed up they are. This time we're going to talk to Todd. He's calling us from Costa Mesa this morning. What's up, Todd? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I've got a question for Brandon, and I've got a question for Finn. Question for Brandon is, when fishing the islands, how important is your fish finder to use it, you know, knowing how elusive white sea bass is? How important is your fish finder? What fish finder and transducer do you use? And for Finn, what was the first fish you ever caught? How old were you?
Finn, what was your first fish?
A calico bass.
Ooh, that's a cool first fish to have. Do you remember how old you were?
Maybe like one.
So long ago, huh?
Yeah.
The best calico bass fishing at the island is on the mooring in Avalon.
Oh, I can believe that.
And we'd love to camp out there. So, yeah, that's fun, huh?
Do boat camping, catching bass? That's pretty fun. That's cool.
And on your fish finder for sea bass questions, that's a great question. You know, if I could either have my chart plotter, which has my GPS numbers on it, like how I set up on an edge of structure or whatever, or the fish finder, I would take the chart plotter. I'd feel more lost for the day losing the chart plotter and having the fish finder.
just because you want to be on that edge.
You want to be on that edge. And a lot of times where your lines are going, you won't always mark them because the way you're setting up based on current and such, where your lines are going aren't necessarily where, you know, mm-hmm. the same as what's underneath the boat. So I'd be way more apt to have my chart plotter for that. Whereas for tuna fishing or offshore, I'd rather have my up and down so you can mark them, you know?
Sure.
And I have a hodgepodge of kind of everything on between all the boats. Simrad, Furuno, I have Garmin on one. So
any preference? I mean, personal preferences?
I think they all have their strong points, and I kind of work with what I have. You know what I mean?
Are you being politically correct? Or?
No.
Just like that's real.
I'm okay with that.
I've known.
We don't want to.
I know little of Brandon. Politically correctness is not one of
the things. That's true. So they all have their strong points.
I'm not worried about it. Yeah. For swordfish, the transducer is more important, like what he's asking about, you know? So this isn't my strong point, like electronics and things like this.
All the boats have chirp on them at this point?
Two of them do.
Okay.
But I prefer non-chirp. That's just me, but that's probably just because I didn't, like, grow up with only with that, you know? Most of them have a 15K-dub transducer that, doggone it, the one company makes all of them.
Yeah, what, Airmar.
Airmar, thank you. But there's, like a 275
or something. 275B.
So that's the one for swordfish. Yeah. So that's the one that we have.
You want that power.
Yeah, so Wes's boat has that in it, and the Freeman has that in it. And it's huge for, you don't mark swordfish so much, although we have. You really want to be able to find that bait at 700 to 1,000 feet, that scatter layer. So that's the transducer for that. And the 1,500 for sea bass is what we use.
Speaking of sea bass, when will that season start for you? When will you guys think about trying to make a look for doing that?
Oh, swordfish?
Mm-hmm.
I think if you put in the time, you could probably catch one now. Jake saw one coming home from Catalina the other day. But otherwise, that's like a September thing or October. Last year we ran October, like mid-October to end of December. Yeah. Great December fish.
So when you're setting up, chart plotter, back to the chart plotter and structure. How are you setting up on that structure? Okay. Are you setting above it, down up current from it, down current from it? How are you setting up?
You're always going to set up current from it, so the current's delivering your line.
Delivering your line into the structure.
Into it, and it depends if it's an uphill or downhill spot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also kind of look at the talent level of your anglers and how far they can cast and such. And that and the current. So sometimes, like, if it's just a trickle of current, not a ton, I'll set up real snug to the structure. If it's smoking current, I'll, like, lead it a lot because your lines are going to travel. And based on the spot, there's some spots where the kelp's going back kind of tricky. So you have to be, like, close to the kelp, but not so close you're just going to dump them all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Fine line.
It's a fine line. It's really spot dependent.
Yeah.
And that fine line is tough when you're trying to put a big hunk of metal on the ground and a bunch of chain behind it and then have your boat end up in exactly that right spot.
Right.
Because that sounds like the type of thing where 20 or 30 feet one direction could even make a difference.
Absolutely, especially if it's straight up and down under the boat fishing. Yeah.
Do you think that lowering your anchor scares the fish? Do you lower it quietly or do you just dump it over and go?
No, I try to do it pretty quiet. The greatest thing that I've ever bought for a boat is that that drum style anchor, that Lone Star.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like it's off hydraulics, but it runs off of batteries. And it's just really, really quiet in general. So that thing's great. Great, great, great.
I
doesn't
like
look so great,
those.
But it's right. Yeah, it's, but it's effective.
It's not as sleek as a Lumar, but they don't break either.
Is it strong?
Yeah.
Super strong.
That
incredibly.
How does it work lifting, and then how does the maintenance, and you put it on, you have not had to deal with it much?
I went through a lot of Lumar windlasses in my day. A lot. Okay. You know, it's
such pain.
It's made for a sailboat or someone who doesn't anchor 25 times a day or whatever, right? But that Lone Star is incredible, and it's really quiet by nature.
Cool.
So, but you know, I also, you see sport boats come in with engines and generator, and they hack and throw it over and start catching them too.
Sure.
But some silence and some stealth definitely helps.
All right. Very good.
That's cool. Hey, with that, we're going to find out what's going on the water. It's time for our FishDope.com report with the man, Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guy. Today, the Catch Report, sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch, but now with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase fresh fish, smoked and jerky fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheese, their famous tuna burger, that amazing poke kit, and the new ceviche spice. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or call for details and order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Let's talk to Dave Hansen. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Brandon. Good morning, Pete. Good morning, Rick. We are going to talk to Finn Hayward right now. Finn, this is super important. Tell your father that he still owes my wife a trip. She wants to catch a sea bass. She knows I suck at it, and she wants to go with your dad really bad.
What do you think, Finn?
Good morning.
You want to take Dave Hansen fishing?
Sure.
All right.
Done.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Finn. You're the best, man. It's good to listen to you. It's always fun to see the pictures your dad posts of you and your brother catching fish. I love that. So check this out, gang. Like Brian Woolley said, they got some anchovies in the mix in Dana Point and in Newport, and that did so good for all my clients fishing the edges of the kelp up and down the Orange County coast. They have had phenomenal fishing with that anchovy. It just turned on the fishing like you can't even believe. The water came up to 63, 64 in spots yesterday off of Dana Point and off of Newport, and they said the calico bass fishing was insane. Not a lot of keepers, but plenty of action, lots of short barracuda, lots of short bass, really fun fishing. Then over at Catalina, gang, like Brandon was saying before, and a couple of my clients had a phenomenal morning this morning. The big fish, that sea bass, yeah, you got to be patient. You got to be in the right spot. You got to know, like Brandon says, the conditions and all that. But when you get lucky, those fish are enormous. They had a couple of fish up to 60 pounds this morning in the gray.
Saw those pictures. They are enormous.
Pretty fun fishing, you know, but it's sea bass. Like Brandon said, to hit me, you got to put in the time. You got to get over there, and you got to read the conditions. But that bodes very well for what's about to happen with this beautiful weather coming in. And then, like Wooly was saying, there's a bunch of yellowtail over at Clemente. It's just about this weather, and the fish get a chance to settle in. And then we all know what's going on down below the border. And that fish, like you just said, that big schools of anchovy up here, we just need consistent weather. That fish will swim right into California. It has no problem doing that. We've seen the last 6 years straight, it had no problem swimming across the border. I don't think it's going to this year either. And by the time next week with this beautiful weather, I'm sure we're going to have a ton of cool stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we're ready for it, man. And FishDope.com, Danny has been on the pulse of all that's going on. $20 off a new membership to FishDope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW. Your $20 code for all the information from guys like Dave, Mark Wish, and a whole lot more. And Dave, how do we find you?
Well, gang, you can check me out across all social media, Your Saltwater Guide. Also, you can check out my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com, so you don't have to follow Brandon around out there. You can actually go find your own fish.
Perfect. All right, Dave. Appreciate that very much, and we will talk to you next Sunday.
All right, guys. I'm going to kick back and listen to my buddy Finn talk.
All right. Thanks, Dave. All right. I want to remind you that report wrapped up, sponsored by Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over three decades. Check out the Fish Pro series and other custom fillet knives from Anza Knives, made from high carbon steel, which holds a great edge, and they're easy to sharpen. Anza Knives are the finest fillet knives ever produced. Anza also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com and get more info and get that Fish Pro series at Fisherman's Processing. And remember, we are giving away a custom handmade Anza knife today at the end of the show. If you want to get your shot to get through, it's 213-432-1090 or text us on that. Let's talk hookup app.
Yeah, speaking of text, we have a great text from Phil in Costa Mesa here, and it's a question for Finn. You ready, Finn?
Yeah.
All right. He says he wants to know what your favorite part of fishing is with your dad, gaffing the fish, driving the boat, making bait, catching calicos, cleaning fish, or dinner in Avalon?
Well, can I be catching the fish?
Catching the fish, right? Of course. That's always the best, right? And you like calico bass fishing?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. But what's more fun, catching the calico bass or that big yellowtail you caught?
Big yellowtail.
The big yellowtail. Yeah. You like to pull on that. Those things are hard to pull on, though, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you're catching your calico bass, do you like to use squid and straight up and down, or do you like to cast lures for them?
I use squid usually.
Yeah?
And anchovies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Solid.
Great.
I dig it.
Well, let's go ahead and jump back on the phone.
All right, buddy. You got it. The phones are packed up. If you want to get your chance to get through, again, 213-432-1090. Robert from Canyon Country is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
What's up, Robert? Great.
Hello.
Hey, good morning. Go ahead.
Went out on the trip on the last full moon, and the eclipse seemed like it just shut everything down. We couldn't even get any rockfish. Do you guys see any action from the eclipse?
That's a really good question. That was a really slow time period.
Really slow.
I don't know if that...
Wasn't that the pink moon or something?
Yeah.
Maybe the bluefin don't like the pink.
I don't know. Yeah, but that weekend was really tough fishing, like up and down the coast. Everything kind of took a dump. So, whereas a lot of times for sea bass and bluefin, we like it leading into the full moon. Yeah, that was really tough fishing. So you definitely weren't alone. And I know we struggled in that time period, and things have definitely bounced back, and the guys that are coming in this morning have limits and such. But, yeah, that previous weekend with that big moon and that eclipse was pretty doggone slow.
But it's sea bass, or it's sea bass or bluefin fishing. I mean, they're both very challenging fish to catch because they bite one day and then they don't bite the next. And it's just, you cannot predict it.
I know. It ebbs and flows, and we want to hang a lot on the moon, and we get a lot of pre-full moon bookings and such, but I've seen them just bite all over the map.
Yeah.
You can't predict current based on moon, unfortunately, unless you're inside a bay or a harbor. So, yeah, we put a lot of pressure on the moon and what the best time is, but this year especially, it seems coming off that full moon has been really good.
Okay, we know for sea bass fishing, island fishing, whatever, current is critical. What about offshore fishing? Current,
if you're
tide, whatever?
If you're anchor fishing, it's huge. Like that fall kind of classic anchor up the Tanner or Cortez, you always want your lines feeding in towards the high spot. But in terms of offshore drift fishing, I don't even know if we really know what the current's doing a lot of times that far offshore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you got to wonder what it does to the fish's attitude, right? I mean, there's got to be some effect to something going on. I mean, we know there's not really any tide or current.
Right. And what's going on the surface doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going on
underneath.
You know, 100 feet down. And
Yeah. I've been diving many, many spots where the current on the surface is going one way, and you go down 50 feet, and it's going the opposite way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Current's just so huge for so much that we do. It's massive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I would say the same thing. The moon is such a good excuse when things didn't work out. Like, if it didn't work out, it was because I had a crummy moon phase. And when we caught them, well, obviously it's because I'm the man. And, like, I put us where we needed to be. Like, it had nothing to do with a good moon phase. Like, I just am the man. And when it was when I missed, nobody could have caught it. It was a bad moon. Like, what are you going to do? You know, of course it wasn't going to bite.
My takeaway on moons is I kind of watch what it's doing season by season. And it seems like a lot of time that's the pattern. So even for everything, like when the squid shoving into spawn, you know, some seasons it seems like it starts right before the full, sometimes on the backside or the moon. So season to season, I pay attention, like when we start catching sea bass in March, and when month over month you start seeing certain trends, then I'll kind of hang my hat on it for that season.
Yeah.
And it seems like any type of fishing condition, like no one thing trumps everything else. You know, if you whatever it might be, like you might have the quote-unquote right moon phase, but if the wind blew 20 knots and the water completely rolled over, like that's, you know, a good moon phase isn't going to trump that, and vice versa. You might be looking at it and think, well, we're in the middle of a moon phase and they haven't been biting, but if the right water has pushed in and the current's going the right direction, you're probably going to catch. You know, there's no one thing that can't be trumped by another.
Totally.
Yep. Well, let's go ahead and jump into the phones. They're packed up. Want to talk to Brandon and Finn.
Sam from Irvine is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Rick and Pete and Brandon. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Good, Sam.
Good, good. Hey, Brandon, a question for you. I know I've been on your bluefin trips, and not many people were talking about it. You know, and I want to share that you're like part of the crew when you do that trip, flying out the flyers and gaffing them and things like that. And, you know, having experience that I coach up the guys that when we go and we have new guys, because they're kind of afraid when you get across some of those big bluefin. What would you tell a new crew member or a new client when they're going out on a big bluefin trip? Because it is an awesome experience. That you know, 200 to 300 pound bluefin is something that is challenging, no doubt.
Yeah, no, we try to get everyone really, really, really involved. And the goal is by the end of the trip that everyone's kind of doing everything on their own, including like a guy flying out the kite while his buddy's putting the bait out, because it's just way, way, way more fun, you know?
Totally.
So the easier way is to bring two crew members and kind of do everything and hand off the rod. But we try to do it really, really hands-on. And we treat our charters like a small boat trip for people who don't have their own boat, or those who do, who want to kind of learn something or not have to deal with it all day long. So we give a little debriefing before we leave the dock and the, kind of the lay of the land, and discuss it as we're kind of putting the baits out and doing everything. But until you get a bite and you're like actively engaged, that's kind of the best teacher of it.
If you've got a boat and you're wanting to go do the big bluefin thing on your own and the kite, a trip with Wes, a trip with Jake, a trip with Brandon, like, that is an invaluable investment that you could make in your future success of doing it. Like, just to go with the guys and just, you know, that's what a breezer looks like, and this is how a guy approaches it who does it every single day of his life. And, you know, you will gain so much from, you know, you've got your own boat and you for sure have the ability to do it on your own, but just going with the guys who do it for a living, like, your learning curve will shorten so fast. Like, that is such a worthy investment. Even if you've got all the rigs and everything yourself, one time watching those guys do it will advance
you'll learn a lot
beyond.
Yeah.
Totally.
Do you go on other people's boats?
I don't do that.
No.
I have before, but that's just kind of not my sauce.
Yeah.
Dave does it, and there's a lot of guys that are really good at it.
Yeah.
If there's someone who comes out with us, and they've been out with us a few times, and they get a new boat, we'll go and do it for them as like a favor to an existing customer.
Yeah, that's a regular customer.
But when people call, like, we come out, I don't do the price guide.
And plus, it's best to come out with you because you have everything you need on your boat and know how to run that boat.
That's why I don't do it.
Yeah.
I did it when I first started and things were kind of lean and the kids were young and I was like working a lot. But then I'd get out and they didn't have enough anchor chain, or you get out and they're missing, you know, something for the kite and whatever. So we'll do it, and we'll do it with people. If you come out with us once or twice and it's a good fit, totally, and we'll bring all our own stuff. And
but you know what, though? If you're going at it from that side of thing, I want to learn how to do it, you're going to learn better watching it done on a boat that's set up right than that scenario that you just described. Like, well, this would be how we anchor, but we don't have enough chain to hold here, so now we're not going. You know what I mean? Like, go with you, learn how to do it.
Yeah.
Go catch a bunch of.
Speaking of which, how much chain do you have on your 28?
Oh, like 35, 40 feet.
Okay, so not about...
And the first 15 feet is kind of like a heavier, bigger gauge.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you go heavier and then a little smaller.
Just a little heavier chunk, yeah. But like 1.5 boat length. Like, they say a boat length is good, but we do like 1.5.
1.5, all right. Yeah.
That's cool. Hey, when we come back, we got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including a big block of your phone calls. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Dana Landing in Mission Bay is the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. This is Mia. Come see me and our expert staff for everything you need for your next fishing trip: food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop is certainly one of San Diego's finest. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna, and people that can help you get set up right. We also have Dougie, one of the best reel repair guys around. Need freshwater tackle? Head to East County Bait and Tackle, the best rods and reels, the hottest freshwater lures, and live bait. ECBT has an amazing staff who love to share their passion for fishing. We now also have Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, both fresh and saltwater tackle, right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 Freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, take 94 to Broadway and Lemon Grove. And Dana Landing is right next to the Dana Launch Ramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
Cutwater Spirits celebrates those who work smarter, not harder, and know that enjoying a bar-quality cocktail is as easy as cracking open a can. No mixing required. We cut out that step for you. Made in San Diego with our real award-winning spirits, Cutwater canned cocktails are ready to enjoy, ready when you are. All you gotta do is choose your cocktail, such as our fan favorites like our lime margarita, tiki rum Mai Tai, vodka mule, or mango margarita. Or try them all. Please enjoy responsibly.
Top anglers know the best hooks are made by Gamakatsu. But did you know Gamakatsu also makes amazing tackle storage solutions like the G-Box 3200 reversible utility case for easy tangle-free jig storage? Check out the Gamakatsu Spring Lock Spinner. It helps give swim baits additional flash to entice those bites. Gamakatsu also makes a line of fishing pliers, clothing, and more. For the complete lineup, check Gamakatsu.com for your local tackle dealer. On your next fishing trip, you want to maximize your catching power by using the best jigs available. That's why you need Sea Falcon. These handmade Japan brand certified lures will take your fishing and catching to the next level. All Sea Falcon jigs and plugs are hand painted in Japan, utilizing the highest level of quality and attention to detail. Gamakatsu's premium assist hooks are ideal to pair with Sea Falcon lures. For knife jigs, short jigs, poppers, and plugs, Sea Falcon lures get it done. Check SeaFalconUSA.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. We're having a great time here this morning with Finn, with Brandon, talking all kinds of great fishing, man. What a great time today has been. Again, if you want to get through, plenty of time for your phone calls and texts. 213-432-1090. That's the phone number. Or give us a text on that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump back on the phones.
You got it. Chuck in Long Beach is up next with us here this morning. Good morning, Chuck. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Chuck.
A couple questions. Brandon, have you had a chance to put some of, like, the more new budget reels through their paces as, like, either a field test or a trial, like the Speedmasters and things like that? And if you have, what's your opinion? Second question is, my family, we do a week in Catalina every year. Would I be able to arrange a trip? You come pick me up at, like, the Green Pier at Odark 30, fish me around the island or out to Clemente or whatever, then bring me back over?
Oh, good questions. Field testing, new stuff? No, I haven't. We just kind of stick with I got a batch of Torium in Trinidad's a couple years ago, and those have held up great. At the end of the season, we service them, and that's kind of our staple. So, no, I haven't kind of been in the trenches with the field testing stuff. And in terms of fishing out of Catalina, you would have to come over with us. So politics and logistics aside, the trip has to originate from the mainland. We go on the island a ton. We do a lot of lobster trips where we go and have lunch on the island. My customers stay on the island in the hotels, and we bring hundreds of people a year onto that island and have introduced a lot of people to Catalina. However, you have to go with us. You can't take the express over. So you have to ride over with us. We pay a little wharfage fee, and then you can come with us, which might get nice for you. You save on the express fare.
Yeah, and you go when you want.
And you go when you want, exactly. Yeah. So if that's something that you'd like to arrange, we do a ton of trips to Catalina. And I could help line all of that up for you, including the hotel.
Rick and I have both done it. It's so much fun going over there because Brandon's like the unofficial mayor of Avalon, though. He knows everybody there. He knows all the spots.
Yeah.
Everybody loves him over there, and it's a lot of fun.
I think that lobster trip you do is such a cool thing for people that's just outside of the norm. Sure, the fun part is bringing back a handful of lobsters, but it's just a really cool trip. It's low key. You're maybe having a couple cold ones, and you're giving your buddy a hard time for not pulling as hard as you. And then it's always fun seeing the thing coming from the depth. Those lobster trips you do are like my favorite. It's rad. It's so low pressure. Fun. That's a very, very fun trip.
Especially in the winter when there's not a lot going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's when some of the best weather over there is. It's a little chilly, but it's really good time to be at the island.
December until like mid February is my favorite
time.
Great. We don't have. I mean, it's either super windy and you can't go, or it's really nice overall. Yeah. It's not like now where you're kind of threading the needle in the afternoon wind, and now it's south wind. No, it's the best.
And you don't have to deal with a bunch of tourists over there and stuff.
It's
nice
the best.
Time.
And that window between Thanksgiving and Christmas is pretty good, too.
Oh, okay. That's a good tip.
Yeah.
That's a good tip. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump back to it here.
Yeah,
right?
we got a great text. Yeah, definitely do. This one, good morning, guys. Got to say, just listening to Brandon take your blood pressure down, such a contrast to the typical caffeine hyped people we see on some of the boats. I hope to fish with you soon. Now to my question. For Brandon, we talk a lot about the weight of lead heads, but what about the hook? Is there a shank length that you prefer for a squid and lead head rig? And is there a lead head that's strong enough to use for offshore and a bluefin? I'd really like to consider trying to cast a swim bait into a foamer, but not sure if the hook can handle a big fish. That's all from Corey in Escondido.
That's a good question. So the lead head we use the most is that Gitsum that Dolphin Tackle makes, and it comes with a big 8-0 forged style hook. And in terms of a lead head that you could use offshore for bluefin, I think it really hinges on what pound test you're using. So if you're trying to fish 100 pounds, kind of anything's going to straighten out and turn into a dart. But if you're fishing like 30 or 40 and you don't pull incredibly hard, I think any of those Leadmaster lead heads or that off-the-shelf stuff would work.
Yeah,
would work just fine.
Those guys make a triangle lead head that's the same way. They call it Tuna Tough. And why I don't necessarily think the hook is that, it's that same kind of thing. It's a forged 7-0 type size hook. And, you know, do I think you could fish straight Spectra and 100 pound and a 30 wide reel? No, but I mean, for sure, you could fish that thing on relatively heavy tackle and catch fish that would say sub 100 pounds without any question. It's a big forged, it looks like a 7731 Mustad hook. It's probably a knockoff of that, but that's sure what it looks like, you know. But they call it Tuna Tough. It's a few more bucks, but it would definitely handle. You know, it would handle a pretty appropriate size tackle.
For sure. All right. Hey, good text. Thanks a lot for that. If you want to get through on the phones, 213-432-1090. Been a busy morning. First time we've had an available line, and you want to get through, there's your chance. 213-432-1090. JP standing by. Gary White, the Iron Man himself, had a question, and he does, white sea bass bite fly line mackerel slabs like yellowtail, and what harbors do you charter from?
That's a good question. This time of year, and the bluefin thing, Fisherman's is our go-to. We have the 28 here in the Freeman.
28 Parker. And that's got twin engines on it, right?
It has twin Yamahas.
And then the Freeman is an incredible boat, right?
Yeah, that's
34-foot catamaran.
Yeah, speed. I got that thing as fish. The bluefin have gotten further and further in that offshore banks fishing. It's really great when the fish are out. I mean, anywhere, but Tanner Cortez, you get there in a couple hours.
How fast does it go?
Pegged, low 50s, comfortable cruising in good weather, 38 to 43.
Oh, my gosh.
Thing rides incredible. Like, wow. I was a skeptic of cats, and then once I got on them and checked them out, especially that one, it's they're the ultimate.
Wow, it's
they're also expensive. Yeah. You're like buying two boats.
Yeah.
There's two hulls.
Yeah.
The wait list for a Freeman right now is 4 years.
4 years, you want to buy a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the used inventory isn't too high, and there's, like, when you look, like, maybe there's 134 in the country for sale.
Yeah.
I found that one kind of by chance in Cabo.
Yeah.
And we brought it up the Gulf, the whole Sea of Cortez to Penasco, and then trailered it home.
How fun.
Which I'll probably... The scenery, I would love to do it with the kids. The scenery and the islands and the fishing and going up the Gulf is incredible. Putting a boat that's 10 feet, 10 inches wide on a trailer and going
and driving it through Mexico?
And driving it through Mexico. That's a whole other radio show. And to do it once was really neat, like Hall of Fame experience, but I don't see it doing this big loop all the time.
Imagine.
Yeah. But on the slab bait, chunk bait for sea bass, no. When we're chumming, like, you'll open them up and there'll be your squid rings inside of them and stuff, but in terms of, like, slapping out a slab of mackerel for them, no. But I'm sure it has its time and place, and it's just a matter of trying it.
Yeah.
Just like I think we'd catch a lot more fish on the Channel Island style of fishing plastics and flukes and hookup baits and all this type of stuff if we tried it more.
Yeah, one thing, they were big on those white fluke-style baits this year up in Channel Island. What's that all about?
They just dart around, and they look real good. I took the crew to Florida this year, to Crystal River, and we went snook fishing, and they use a fluke there, but just with a hook, no little lead head. But it dances around a lot, and it looks great.
Yeah.
Huh,
yeah,
that's cool.
All right. Great.
Hey, I had another great text. This was from James in La Jolla, wondering, Brandon, have you ever considered, or do you know of any boats that fish with a large style trolling motors that have spot lock on them? And how do you feel those would work in our scenario?
I think that's great, and a lot of the kind of calico bass guides use it, and I think it would be really good for everything that we do, especially for coastal fishing.
Those things are amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think if you have a low-to-the-water boat and you fish in areas that don't have a ton of swell where your props, trolling motor props, not going to be just endlessly bouncing out of the water, it's a great move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Something. And you have to have the right boat, too. Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's jump back into it and talk to Gus. Gus is calling us from Burbank this morning. Hi, Gus. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Yo, you guys.
Yo, Gus.
I used to have a great boat for going to Catalina. It was one of my favorite things to do, if not the favorite thing to do. And I would go to Catalina at the drop of a hat. And this is sort of a roundabout question, but it was a very strange sight that I saw at Catalina Island. okay? And I'm going to ask you if you've ever seen anything like this before. But I was traveling at night, going from the east end to the towards the west end at night, and I took I picked up a mooring between White's Cove and Avalon. It was supposed to be for a yacht club, like Newport Yacht Club or something. And I took a chance because there was nobody there, absolutely not a single boat. We picked up a mooring. I looked down, and I saw swirls of luminescence. And it was like giant circles of glowing bottom. Yeah. Have you ever seen anything like that? Have you ever seen anything like that?
Not sober.
Right.
Not sober, yeah. Happens.
Yeah.
How many cocktails did you have, Gus? Come on.
Probably that bioluminescence when you have that phosphorescence, you know, essentially that happens a lot in red tide and such. So anything down under the surface, you're going to see it. And Pete, remember we had that great night of sea bass fishing in 2010?
Yeah.
But you could, like, see the fish swimming in the phosphorescence
at night.
It
was so awesome.
That was insane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's happened. So I think that's what it is. It was a plankton bloom, and you're just looking at phosphorescence in the water. When that happens, you know, anything that's down there is way, way, way exaggerated. It looks, you know, a lot bigger than it is.
If you have a sea lion that's, like, swirling around and doing circles underwater, and all that phosphorescence, like, glowing from being moved around and agitated, like, it's a light show.
It is. It is.
Yeah, for sure. So, Gus, yeah, Catalina can be a magical place, and the things you see. Speaking of which, what are some of the coolest things you've seen at that island? I mean, it's such an amazing place because it's so close to home.
Yeah.
Yet it's such a magical island, and we really got to take care of that place.
Totally. You kind of see it all from air to sea there, and bald eagles. That's always kind of neat. And
yeah, the bald eagles.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Have you seen one of those, Finn, over there?
A bald eagle?
A bald eagle over Catalina?
Yeah, I think one.
Yeah.
Remember we were at Long Point, and there was two of them, and we were feeding them whitefish. Remember that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We've seen them over there and the whale shows, and it's just a really cool spot.
Yeah. So what ranks on top on your top list? Putting big sea bass over the top or some of the coolest shows you've seen over there?
I'm going to take the slam dunk sea bass fishing as my favorite over there.
Slam dunking, yeah. 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 Slam dunk sea bass or slam dunk lobster fishing?
I'll take the sea bass.
Oh, no,
sea bass fishing.
No,
yeah.
Doubt.
Yeah.
Come on.
But that lobster fishing we had in El Nino is pretty special up in that deep water.
Yeah. What? That just isn't there anymore, is it?
You have your days, but, I mean, you know, the first 4 years I did it, I said catch a limiter, you get a trip for free. So not every trip's a limit.
How many free trips did you give out back then?
Not a lot. Like, you can count on one hand individuals. It was good. The water was warm, and they were in a real specific depth, and it was just really good lobster then. But, you know, 10 years before that, the guys that were 20 years, however long ago before that, the guys that were doing it first did the same thing in shallow water. It was really good. So it has its moments, and we still have plenty of trips for limits there, and you got to grind it out. But the quality is still incredible there.
Yeah.
I think the best lobstering there is definitely not the first couple weeks of the season. It's later on. There's this huge gold rush mentality with lobstering, and it's like that in some places. But for the whole six-month season, I think you can kind of put it together.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would take middle of winter over the first.
Less crowd, and you know, everybody's not putting their traps on top of each other.
Yeah.
And no aggro.
They move around a lot. When you can kind of figure out the depth, that's when you kind of.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily always deep. It's not necessarily always shallow, right?
No, I have a lot of customers that are like, man, why aren't we doing that deep water stuff? That's where we get limits, you know?
Yeah.
And that happened a lot, but it's not how it's always been. There's windows during the season where you're fishing deep. But over the course of the season, it's not all deep or it's not all in 8 feet of water, but sometimes it is. I mean, midwinter, you know, early, right before they start spawning, you've had some huge trips in like as shallow as you can get the boat.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's still good. It still happens. It just takes a little bit of work.
Yeah. But again, it's kind of like sea bass fishing. You got to know, right?
You got to know. And being out there every day and kind of staying on the depths and the pattern helps out as well.
Yeah, I want to continue to talk about your fleet, too, before we run out of time here.
Sure.
And how things work. You work, describe the different harbors you work out of and what's the season and what boats and captains and how somebody calls Bites Forest Fishing and says, I want to go fishing. What
right.
should I do?
What I do is I try to, well, everyone has a different narrative on what they want to fish for. So this
yeah.
time it's like sea bass or bluefin.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do is we book the trip, and then 3 days before we kind of talk about, like, the conditions and what the best bet is, the best time. So, for example, the trips that we're doing open party trips out of Fisherman's every weekend. Originally, we were trying to leave at 5 a.m., but it's kind of better afternoon fishing. We want to be there late, so we switched it to 8. So we're doing, like, an 8 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how we flow it, just depending yeah. on the fish. So especially with sea bass, it could end up being an afternoon trip
yeah.
versus a morning trip if they're biting bass in the afternoon.
So rather than leave it in the dark in the morning, you're leaving in the mid-morning and then coming back in the dark.
Yeah, or you're leaving it at noon or 1 o'clock and coming
yeah.
back like way after dark if
way
the fish are biting late in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. So you'll customize it for people. And so somebody, first thing they do is they say, let's pick a date.
Right.
And then, as you said, 3 days before, then you'll fine-tune the actual trip.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you decide which boat to go on?
It's mostly how many people they have and what their budget is.
Okay.
The 23 is the least expensive, and the Freeman's the most expensive.
Okay. So how much is the 23?
The 23 is, depends what you want to do, but right now for sea bass, it's $2,100.
Mm-hmm. Seems really reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, especially at the price of fuel right now.
I'm trying not to raise rates with fuel and trying
yeah.
to kind of stay the course.
Yeah.
It's just such a huge swing in inflation in general.
Yeah, when you're paying over $7 a gallon for fuel,
it's
which is what it is in the water. And see, people need to understand that. Fuel is at least a dollar more a gallon in the water. At least a dollar
totally.
More.
Totally.
I mean,
what's fuel in Avalon right now?
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's like they have. There's a new Dion Brothers bought it, so it's not how much it was when
it's
the
not Highland $10
company
a gallon.
No. But it's still $8 or something
yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
But it's also $7 in the water here.
Yeah.
What was I going to say on that front?
Yeah. So and then so the 23 is $2,100. Then the next boat is the 28.
The 28. Yeah, that's $2,400
for sea bass.
$3,300 for bluefin. But
okay.
I mean, total transparency. That last trip that Jake ran, our fuel bill was $1,300.
$1,300
just from fuel.
Fuel.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Because you had to go a long way.
That's
yeah.
before
but that's
you
the thing,
pay Jake. That's before you buy flyers. That's before you put fluorocarbon on your reels. That's before you spend all those expenses.
Landing percentage. It's
yeah.
A, it's a massive overhead game.
Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy.
And it's getting worse, so
yep.
you got to understand. And
yeah.
then what about the Freeman, if you want the ultimate ride?
The Freeman's $5,500 for the day. It fishes great with six people.
Six people, nice.
Five is really nice.
Uh-huh.
And I'm actually charging less. We're taking six, and I'm charging $8.95 right now. When the big fish show up and it's the kite thing.
Like an open party thing?
Yeah, open party.
Oh,
we do those every
rat.
I'm online
like with
every
five
weekend.
People?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm taking six right now.
Six.
And when it switches over to the kite thing, we take five.
Okay.
So it's spendy. It's not cheap, but California's the only place in the world where you can keep two bluefin to start.
Yeah.
Only place in the world where you can keep two per person. So we cringe when the limit changes, but we still have the most liberal bluefin limit
in the
world.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
yeah, you're right.
High quality protein, you know, and you don't have to buy a plane ticket to fly somewhere and the whole thing. So you can look at it as a lot of money, and you can also look at it if you owned your own boat. It probably feels like the ultimate value.
I mean, if you go anywhere in the world and charter your own boat, San Diego is a bargain. Southern California in itself is a bargain.
And you slice out the hotels and
yeah.
plane airline fares and such as well.
Yeah,
yeah absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
And where else in the world can you go and have a chance to catch a 200-pound tuna
totally.
On a day trip?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? And that's a total reality. How many times did you do that last year?
Oh, catch cows?
Yeah.
It's a daily occurrence when they're around
when
and they're biting.
Around. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
yeah. I mean, it was like dozens and dozens of trips.
Those Tanner trips were just lights out.
So you did fishing. A Tanner trip on the Freeman.
Yeah, we take
that's 100 miles offshore.
We've taken the 28th out there before, too,
really?
If the weather's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Freeman just screams that run. It's great.
2.5 hours out there.
Yeah, 2.5-3 hours.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
It took me like all night.
And we try not to travel a ton at night, but we have that flare. Is that
cool? Oh, cool.
Yeah. So we literally have night vision on it and top-tier radar and everything.
Wow.
So, yeah, we kick it back a few knots at night, but we have night vision and everything you need for that.
God, that's cool.
Yeah.
yeah.
So
you have
cool.
another good one there.
Sure, yeah. Good morning, guys. Wondering your recommendation if I'm fishing 60-pound Spectra on my reel. Is it okay to put on an 80-pound leader if I just want some extra braid resistance? I'm thinking for the terms of daytime Colt Sniper and knife jig fishing for bluefins. That's from Carlos in the San Fernando Valley.
Rick can answer better than I can, but I think if you're fishing 65, you want to fish 60, 40, 50, lower. Seems like when you go up higher, the braid can slip or the thing can kind of like fall apart, right?
I kind of feel the same way. I think that I would just fish a piece of 60-pound right now. I think for the most part, daytime fishing, what you're going to be doing, you're not going to see a world of advantage fishing a piece of 80 over a piece of 60. It's a little stealthier. Brandon's totally right on the connection-wise. I mean, is it a hard, fast rule that you can't? No, but I would do the same thing. I'd be fishing a piece of 60 pounds.
So if you tie a John Collins knot from 65-pound Power Pro to 80-pound Seaguar fluorocarbon, is it not going to be as good a knot?
It's you just need to, like, you'll want to increase the number of wraps you do a little bit. It's just a
no seven instead
you've got
of five.
A, and you've just
like
got
that.
A yeah, and you've got a small, you've just got a much smaller diameter. Like that knot works best the closer you can get the diameters to things.
Sure.
And it's, again, is that a hard rule where the knot's just going to fail? No, but you're going to get a higher percentage if it was a little closer.
So you're much better off putting 80 on top of that.
That's what I think.
Yeah,
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 exactly.
All right.
But again, does that mean it's going to fail the second come tide? Of course not.
No.
Could you do it if you needed to? Sure.
Yeah.
But I think I'd just be fishing 60 pound.
All right.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's got themselves a brand new Anza knife. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels. With the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities, Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out our big winner for that Anza fillet knife, whether it's going to a caller or a texter. Finn is going to do us the honors of flipping the coin to find out who our big winner is. All right, buddy, flip it.
And see who wins.
All right, that was a solid one.
Good.
And we've got the texters
as the winner.
So a big congratulations, Jim in Oceanside.
Yeah.
You got the big prize. Congratulations.
Big Anza knife.
You got yourself a brand new Anza fillet knife.
Yeah, cool. Well, hey, Finn, great having you on. Let's Talk Hookup. You going to come back?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, good. And Brandon Hayward, you're going to come back?
I'm just going to send him.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to be on the water quite a bit, I know, for sure. And if somebody wants to book a trip with Bite Sport Fishing, how do we go about it?
Yeah, just give me a call or go through the website, bitesportfishing.com. Or my cell is 949-212-0719. And if you want to do one of those open party bluefin, we have trips open every weekend now to kind of mid-June.
Starting now.
Yep.
Yeah, till mid-June. What happens in July?
A lot of days are booked out.
Booked out.
The days that are open, I went online.
Yeah.
For the next few weeks here.
So if they're up on the Fisherman's Landing website,
you can
Fisherman's
call the landing and book right through them. Or if you have any questions, give me a call.
Yeah. And that would be on which boat?
Those are all on the Freeman.
On the Freeman.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
Wow, how much fun would that be, huh?
Yeah.
So you're rocketing out there, catching a big bluefin, and then rocketing home.
It's great for a guy who has a day, you know, because a day and a half trip still takes portions of 3 days for you. So if you have a day and... it's the way to go.
So you wake up in your own bed in the morning, you go catch a big bluefin, you sleep in your own bed that night.
God bless.
Oh, man, I love it.
So that trip, like if you're going this weekend, what time would that trip leave?
We're going to leave at 8. We're going to leave at 8 and get back around 8 p.m. If you want your fish processed, you can just leave it on the boat, and the guys will, from whichever process you want, will grab it in the morning, and it's pretty turnkey. Or we'll fillet it for you free of charge.
And you have all the gear you need on the boat if you don't have gear?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's
an opportunity that would be. And that would be this coming weekend, which looks like pretty good weather.
Looks like good weather moving forward here.
And and bluefin tuna fishing is just going to keep getting better.
Totally.
You watch. Yeah. It's definitely good. Well, thanks a lot. Thanks, Finn, for coming down. And thank you very much for listening. Thanks to JP for manning the phones. And, of course, Adam for manning the Let's Talk Hookup app. All these archives will be up on the Let's Talk Hookup app here in a matter of moments. Adam's always on it there. And Rick and I will be back next Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday, the big guy, Captain Frank Lopresti from the Royal Polaris, will be here. That'll be fun. Talking some serious fishing on one of the ultimate long-range machines there. And the next Sunday, man, this is a real treat. Captain Pete Grosbeck. What do you say? How do you describe Captain Pete Grosbeck, right? It's like one of the ultimate fishermen.
Total chaos.
Yeah, total chaos. That's total chaos. Next Sunday, Pete Grosbeck. Thanks for listening today, and thank you all for all your texts and all your phone calls, and we'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.